time, I'm not even singing to the song. That's right, I'm Ken.
I'm Josh.
And this is the Afternoons with Josh and Ken.
Doesn't matter when you listen, Ken. It's always the Afternoons.
We're here for our seventh full-length episode.
Oh.
Were there short episodes? Never. We just still have full-length episodes. You were on Movie Fights, Josh.
I was.
Last week?
Ken, I feel like this episode is sort of the... That we're nearing towards the end, like this was a really exciting episode for everybody.
Yeah.
If we were a Netflix series, a 10-episode Netflix series,
yeah,
we'd really be hitting our stride right
this
now.
Is
people
the
are like,
one.
Holy cow, Ooh. Only three episodes left. But we only have 350 to 400,000 episodes left, so no big deal.
Have you watched Jessica Flash? Oh, it's great when the crow comes in and meets Green Bulb. Yeah, that seventh episode, that fight in the kitchen, that's the best.
But you've never, what the thing about the Green Bulb,
yeah,
dude, is that he, when he gets into a kitchen, you didn't realize that he was able to execute so many different items in a kitchen into a fight. Knife, cup, plate, bowl, pan, oven, stove, cabinet, cabinet door, inside a cabinet. I mean, you've never seen a more intense.
Wine opener.
Wine. The corkscrew, the automatic corkscrew, all of the presents that Jessica Flash had been had registered for her wedding was used in that fight scene.
I want some fan art of Jessica Flash and the Green Bulb.
The Green Bulb. I got to tell you, though, the Green Bulb.
Yeah.
There aren't many guys with the superpowers quite as impressive as the Green Bulb.
No.
Because when you turn on the Green Bulb, you're like, he can't light up a room. But then, boom. He's like what the Green Lantern wanted to be, but the Green Bulb.
Yeah.
He doesn't even need to charge anymore.
No.
He's powered so heavily by the earth and the sun together, bottom top.
You know he's in the room when your iPhone 8 is at suddenly at 80% power when it was at 40.
Well, the beautiful part about how they wrote the Green Bulb is when he was walking into wireless cafes and we're like, God, the internet's so slow in here. And all he's there to do is order coffee and everybody's internet is so fast.
Yeah.
Like, God, the Green Bulb.
His girlfriend can't figure it out because he has a secret identity.
Yeah.
And so every time they get in the car, she brings up Google Maps. Her phone doesn't drop down in power. And she can't figure it out.
She's got nothing. And she hasn't charged her Chevy Volt in months.
Oh, no. Because she's conscious. He's cosmically conscious.
Yeah.
And the Green Bulb is just churning that power in the vault.
And one of the beautiful things about the writing of the Green Bulb is that they named him Greg Bonanza.
Oh, yeah.
And he's sort of like, you know, he's Italian, but when he turns into the Green Bulb, you don't realize that that is still Greg Bonanza. One of the greatest, you know, secret identity cover-ups, because, you know, you get a lot of these superheroes like Black Lightning and The Flash and even like, you know, Batman's and Superman's. They're very, but Green Bulb, when he goes full bulb, you have no idea it's Greg Bonanza.
And Jessica Flash is great because she wears one of them business jackets with shoulder pads. From 1988.
Yeah.
And she's on the move. She can fax things, but she doesn't like because she's always drunk.
Yeah.
And then she has sex with the Nick Crunch.
Nick Crunch.
He's a gym guy by day.
Yeah. You know, and the thing about Nick Crunch is he's just a douche. He's a douche.
She can do better.
Really? She could.
But she's haunted by her super villain. Arch nemesis that comes around, and it's David Tennant. Just David Tennant.
That's it. There's no disguise.
No.
There's nothing. It's just 1988 David Tennant.
Did it?
A young David Tennant on fire. Honestly, I mean he's just hitting the peak of his David Tennantness.
Yep.
Jessica Flash. She was a fan of most of Tennant's early theater work, and she has no idea why David Tennant is such a supervillain, but you can't look at David Tennant and not think supervillain.
Have you won a Tony? No?
Yeah,
oh,
no.
Okay. Yeah, so Jessica...
But what's crazy is that David Tennant, though,
you
don't realize is David Tennant is actually American. He's been using a fake British accent forever. His British accent is better than most British people's normal language.
Right. You know, I think you're onto something here. Jessica Flash and the Green Bulb... Aaron, Wednesdays at 7:30 after the Legion Hall, which is just a bunch of old superheroes that meet at a Legion Hall and sign autographs.
They can still smoke cigarettes inside. A lot of guys smoking cigars.
Yeah.
They're not allowed to play cards anymore because a lot of them keep cheating because they have x-ray vision and all that stuff.
But some of them vision's going out.
Yeah.
You can only see like the color of
the
cards.
It's more like a translucent vision now.
Yeah, so they're better at cheating at Uno.
because there's only so many options.
only so many colors man. And options there. We're pitching a great lineup here for network executives.
The Legion. And then the green spin, the green bulb spinoff. I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh yeah, it's on the street, man.
Yeah,
it's the green bulb and the action fighting in the kitchens, man, with those wine bottle openers. Oh man, we got to get that. I want to see that poster. I want to see that poster now.
Jessica Flash and the green bulb.
Thanks to Kyle Harlow.
Kyle Harlow, incredible work.
Also watches me on Twitch under the name Rod Maniac.
Oh, he I like that.
Made us our graphic for our social media called Alone.
Alone. Yeah. It's the first. What it, I got to pull it up.
Yeah, it's great. Great work.
The first social media for nobody. I was so excited about it. Even Amanda, when I posted it on Instagram, she called me. She's like, "What's Alone? Is it an actual social media?"
I mean,
like,
we should probably trademark that soon.
The anti-social media. Yeah. Yeah.
Just go on there. I think we got to find a way.
Hey, did you guys meet Greg? Did you meet Greg?
Greg.
You can not follow him on Alone.
Yeah. I got a podcast. You'll never hear about it on Alone.
Never.
Only pictures of mac and cheese.
Yeah.
That I liked.
Did you happen to see, I was skipping a stone the other day in a lonely pond in Alone. Did you see that? It was incredible. Three skips.
What in real life, Josh? What's the longest skips? Highest amount of skips you've gotten?
It was 1994.
Ooh,
Lake Erie.
Good year. Oh, big lake.
Sorry, 1995. I was 13 years old. Yeah.
Okay.
Showing my age here. 1995. Oh, okay. An area called Geneva on the lake in Ohio. It's on Lake Erie. It's a little town.
Geneva on the lake.
Geneva on the lake in Ohio.
Is that where they filmed part of Attack of the Clones?
I don't think so.
That was probably Lake Cuomo.
That was Lake
Cuomo
in Italia.
Right,
yeah.
Okay.
I actually stayed right across the lake from
there. Yeah, you sent me a picture from there once. Yeah, it was great.
Geneva on the lake, Ohio. Yeah. A really calm day in the lake. We had been fishing for walleye earlier in the day, doing some water skiing.
This is a great American story.
Yeah. My buddy Donnie Pazlowski was in my wedding. His family owned the house. Donnie Pazlowski is an American treasure.
Donnie Pazlowski.
Also a huge green bulb fan.
Yeah. Donnie Pazlowski is in everyone's childhood stories.
Yes, he
is. He's like lives on 42 different planes of dimensions. Uh-huh.
Dimensional
planes.
The multiverse.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Donnie Pazlowski's lake house right there, Geneva on the Lake in Ohio.
Yeah.
Down at the lake shore. Donnie's dad is a legendary rock skipper, apparently.
Wow.
Colin Redman was there, myself, Donnie Pazlowski.
Yeah.
11, Ken. 11 skips of a rock.
So if we were to contact Donnie Pazlowski,
he could vouch for it.
He'd vouch for 11 skips. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I think I got three once. Problem with me, you are more athletic than I am. Mm-hmm. I often, the first toss would not even skip. It would go kabunk and go straight in.
You got to use those flat
really rocks.
Nice flat stones that you can, on a nice calm day, just enough air under that first skip. And
yeah. My dad's got a little more skills and he's got, he's strong Russian on so you find the good rocks and he was an engineer, so he could find the good rocks. Where I'm like finding.
He's playing the angles.
Yeah, I'm finding just round pebbles.
And Here's another story from that vacation there, Ken, at Geneva on the lake.
This place sounds magical.
It was magical. I haven't been there since.
Yeah.
Two quick stories. One is we were at an arcade, and I remember playing Tekken 3 that whole weekend at the arcade.
Yeah, Tekken.
You know what I mean? Or Tekken 2, whatever. And we got like some tickets, and I bought this little rubber fish.
Mm-hmm.
It looked like a Swedish fish, but it was rubber.
Right.
Almost like a fishing lure, but it was just a rubber fish.
Gotcha.
And I called him Hermie. And we were like making fun of Hermie the whole weekend. And so Donnie tied Hermie to a rock and threw him into the lake. Wow. I was like, don't throw Hermie. He threw Hermie. I just dove in the lake and swam. Took me about 25 minutes, but I found Hermie in the lake. I swear to God we found Hermie. You can call Donnie on that one as
well. Donnie's got the key to a lot of past histories.
He does.
Across many dimensions.
Uh-huh. Yeah. Wow. He's literally an episode of Futurama. The second story is there was a go-kart track there in Geneva. And you
got
to imagine Ohio.
I know.
It's an amazing little shore town.
Wow.
It's sort of like the town in Great Outdoors. An amazing, amazing movie.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So they had a racetrack. And if you were over 16 after 9 p.m., they took the governors off the go-kart track and made it a figure eight. Think about that.
Oh, that means you cross in the middle.
Cross in the middle. And we told the guy we were 16. He's like, you look 16. That's fine. We didn't have to show him ID or anything.
Yeah.
Off the governor, you're going off 40.
You did have a beard at 10.
Yeah, it's true. 40 miles an hour or so.
Oh, when you're low to the ground, too, you're cooked. That's cooking.
We fly, T-boning each other.
Yeah.
It was dangerous.
And Did Donnie Pasolowski come out okay?
Oh, we all came out fine. Because the carts were, they were almost like bumper carts.
Yeah,
to a
but
extent.
Still, there's some still. Speed on there. Uh-huh. I went to out in Vegas. They got that thing down near the Rio, around the corner from it, yeah. where you go, it's like, you know, and you cart, the carts go like 75, 80. You get the helmet on, yeah. and it's a track, and you have to do a little bit of training. You sure. watch a video.
Sounds incredible.
Here's how you don't die. Man, I saw a woman crash. She goes up on the side. I am not a fast driver. So my friend,
Responsible driver, Ken.
Yeah. So there's four of us driving. Three other guys. One, Ernie, is a professional stuntman and a little pro wrestling, and rides horses.
Okay.
So he does like cowboy shows. He looks like Wild Bill.
Gotcha.
So he's good to go. My next for Jay, professional stuntman, amateur but professional level, a soapbox racer.
Whoa.
It's a league. They have an illegal soapbox race.
Just box, straight down. Box just race hold that
in Los Angeles.
Whoa.
And they've been busted by the cops and all that kind of stuff. I think. And then the third friend riding it is a cop who's been in so many. I was getting ready to go to Disneyland at a hotel in Anaheim one day. And me and my girlfriend at the time, I turn on the news and it's like a 9:30 in the morning police chase.
Jesus, man.
So I'm watching the police chase. We're just like watching, you know, she's getting ready, you know, and I love police chases. Mm-hmm. Also, my phone rings and it's my friend Paul. They're like, what's he calling me for? And true story, I pick up, I'm like, hey, dude, I hear this. He's like, turn on the news. I'm like, what? He's like, I'm like, yeah, I'm watching a police chase. He says, I'm the third car back. And I watched him get out of the car and the car crashes. He gets out of the shotgun and he's like hanging up his phone as he's getting away. So he's the third person driving the go-kart.
Holy
and then there's me using turn indicators. I'm like Princess Peach or something.
Go just around.
Yeah. Go around.
Go around me.
Go around. Anyways.
Love it.
You had a good time up there.
Yeah, I did. Geneva on the Lake. I'd love to go back sometime. You know, I don't think his family still owns the house.
You know, it's a good classy place when it's like Geneva on the Lake.
Yeah.
Stratford-on-Guy.
Yeah. Stratford-on-Avon.
Stratford-on-Guy is a Liz Phair song.
Oh, nice. Yeah, yeah. Frankfurt-on-Mine is the actual full name of Frankfurt, Germany.
Frankfurt-on-Mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Carmel by the Sea.
Correct. Yeah. As you couldn't tell that the town is next to the sea.
Yeah.
I had to call it Carmel by the Sea.
And I've been to Carmel before, but your wedding is why I pulled into town like Carmel by the Sea, 3 miles. I'm like, whoa, we're classing it up now.
Classing it up.
That'd be great.
I mean, you get into Carmel by the Sea and you can feel the difference in air quality. You can feel like the difference in it feels like a different town. You're in a different place.
And you know, and I was like, you know, we got some downtime during the wedding weekend, you know, and I'm like, your guys' wedding invite website was great. Chock full of valuable information, right? But I was like, all right, what are we going to do in town? Because I'm also officiating, so I want to get in some practice rounds, you know.
Hot mics.
Yeah, hot mics. And you're like, you warned me. You're like, man, downtown's great. It's like coffee shops and $300 jacket boutiques.
Yeah.
And that's all it was.
Correct. That's all they have. It's art that you can't afford.
Yeah.
Clothes you can't afford.
Yeah.
And then coffee shops. And one bar that only opens at 9 p.m.
Right, which is insane. That one that stayed open for you. But otherwise, everything was closed.
Right.
But it was like, I want to go back.
Sure.
But yeah, it's like an $11 artisan coffee. And do you want slippers that are made by some local artist? $700.
They were actually slippers that were made from the sand, and they were formed into a cloth only available by sand in Carmel by the Sea.
Oh, yeah.
Seaweed and balsa wood.
Oh, sand-spun slippers?
Sand-spun slippers. Yeah.
Sand-spun slippers.
Yeah, that's...
Anyways, you were on Movie Fights last week is what we started to say.
What's the deal with me on Movie Fights?
You're cursed.
I'm cursed.
Yeah.
I've only won one fight ever, and it was barely, and I think it was unfair because it was me against two people that I don't think have ever appeared on a fight before or again.
And
it was a TV fight.
And that was never aired.
Never aired.
It was one of the pilots. We shot two pilots of TV fights.
Yep, didn't air mine.
And were you on the one with LaQuasto?
Mm-hmm.
And LaQuasto dressed as the American flag character.
He's not meant for those shows.
And never, he's not.
I love him, but he's not.
And I forget who else was on the show.
I can't remember.
The other pilot had Nick Mundy, Jack Conway, and...
Like a Sasha Pearl Raver, maybe?
Maybe a female... I know it was a female competitor. I have the record somewhere.
Okay.
But yeah, you were on one of the two pilots.
I won.
Never aired.
Never aired.
And that's the only TV fight you won.
I've ever won. Mm-hmm. So I've been on two movie fights now.
Yeah.
I've been on four TV fights.
Okay, that have aired.
0-6. So if you count the one that I didn't air, I'm 1-6. But if you are at home, you've never seen that one, so you only know me as 0-6 Makuga.
And it wouldn't count on the record. So we would have some fans when Screen Junkies Plus was going, they want to keep the accurate record. So they said, hey, we heard you guys mention there was a pilot or two. Does it count? And we'd say, nah, it doesn't count. No. Exhibition baseball.
It's supposed to be an exhibition. Yeah, so
0-6.
0-6.
And not counting, I know you were on the Collider one. We all went down and you
found
out.
I was out first round, no problem.
Yeah.
But that was back in the day when the host was not a fan of mine.
So well, you that's part of the reason. Let's be honest. You weren't allowed on the show.
Correct.
I would try to book you ad nauseum, but a certain person would be like, eh, I don't like it. Not funny.
Yeah.
Don't bring them on.
Right.
So
I seem to, in my last couple movie fights, I seem to entertain the crowd, and it's, Ken, it's not for a lack of effort because I really do try.
That's the thing. You're not just 0-6, like, ooh, that came down to the wire. You've been shut out a few times.
Uh-huh. Brutal.
What do you think this is?
Ken, you know,
you could see him. He's stretching his neck.
I'm like, here's the thing.
Yeah. Hit me, baby.
I'm not a fighter. You know me. I'm a lover.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And I have a lot of trouble with getting my point across without either yelling or making jokes that are that actually hurt my cause. Okay?
This is true on both accounts.
Right?
You yell, comic yell a lot.
Comically yell.
Which is a thing. Good.
Sure.
It's a good thing to have.
Okay.
But I know what you're saying about the points.
And then I don't get my points across to the point where they are. If you ask me a trivia question, I know the answer. If you ask me to fight a point, I will most likely lose because, I get tired and exhausted and I just want the conversation to end or
they're
change subjects. They're a grind.
Yeah.
Two, I want to make as many jokes as possible, which really doesn't correlate well with now that the internet has to vote. They want the guy being serious.
Right.
And three, maybe my points aren't the best and I kind of try and make a joke that hurts my cause. Whereas there's people that are like versed and well thought out thoughts and arguments and know way more facts where I'm just like, listen, Billy Zane is a great Phantom and the Phantom should get reboot. That's all I have.
Look, here's the thing. I know the inner workings of movie fights. Yeah. A little less now, obviously, but I know the inner workings back in another era. But I am a more of a fighter like you. So I don't do well on movie fights either, unless it's drunk movie fights, because then it's expected to be stupid and entertaining.
I think I would be great on
drunk movie fights. I still have the belt in my closet. I saved that when the pipe burst in my closet last week. Saved the movie fights, the drunk championship belt.
Yeah.
But and I respect all the fighters who go on there and take it serious that have 17 pages of notes and know
it's
all
a
the
lot.
Things. It's a lot. I get it. And I am, but I'm always a little surprised that the crowd reacts to that and they want that. And then that's what they want. They speak their voice loudly. That's what they want. And then people like you or me come on, or Nick Mundy at a time, who just didn't care.
No.
And was up there having fun because you and I see it as entertainment.
We're supposed to be there to entertain, but I understand that there are a lot of fans out there and nothing to take away from them. They want, you know, serious fights and points made and da-da-da-da-da, and they want to be able to argue with you, where they kind of see me as, like, a guy that's not taking it very seriously, because I am taking it seriously to a point.
Yeah.
But I also want to be up there and entertain.
I'm taking it seriously. I just know going in, they always love to have me fight Star Wars stuff.
Yes.
No one there wants to vote for Star Wars.
No.
You know, should Star Wars end? No. The answer is no. We all know it's no, but they vote yes, and the crowd votes yes, because it's fun to say, yes, Star Wars should die, because that's in vogue now. But you and I come in there with some funny jokes. Even the way I talk, if you watch, especially the ones when they had the podiums,
The podium was fun.
I actually liked the two-fighter podium style. I'm playing a character.
Yeah.
I'm joking around. It doesn't go well.
No.
And I think that's your problem.
I totally think it is, because one of my arguments in last week's movie fight was the clear winner. Hal thought it should win. Dan was like kind of torn, but he went one way, but he said, leave it up to the internet. And so the internet voted the other way because I didn't make a clear enough. It was just what they wanted. It wasn't the argument. Yeah. It wasn't the, because I, that's what I will say. The nice thing about.
Who were you fighting?
Greg Alba and Yell Tiggle. Tiggle. It's hard. Teagle.
Teagle.
I was calling her El Tigre, so that would make sense. Tigre. Teagle.
But Yell
Teagle.
I know Yell
She's
very
She's a sweetheart.
Well.
She's and she was a great fighter. And I will tell you what.
She's great.
She was like, listen, I'm going to start 6 feet under and try and dig my way out to win this instead of starting at level ground and then try to win it. She argued for a sucker punch the one time, which is one of the worst movies ever made. She argued for a 50 Shades ending in the speed round versus a Empire Strikes Back ending. I mean, it's crazy.
Right.
But she, her arguments were really well done. And I think she has that talent, whereas I have the talent of, I can talk forever and make a salient point to a certain degree.
Perfect.
But more so, I want to try and make Hal Rudnick laugh, or Dan Merle laugh, or Billy Patterson laugh, Danielle Radford laugh. Yep. Or my competitors laugh.
Yeah.
Whereas Greg Alba came in with, you know, a five-star trapper keeper full of notes.
Which surprised him, because usually he and John Humphreys will sit in the parking lot, third level, Defy, just get stoned, and then come on up and do their thing.
Nope.
But he brought in notes.
I mean, he was nervous about the whole thing.
He gets into, I was there for his first movie fights when he fought under a different name, and he was shaking nervous.
Sure. And I was not.
Yeah.
I mean, I just go in there and try and have a good time. I mean, the last time I argued for Ava DuVernay, I've never seen a movie that she's directed.
Right. It's all about passion and commitment a lot of the time.
Yes.
That's why I one time beat Hector Navarro on the what's the best Ron Howard movie. He chose Apollo 13. I chose Splash.
Of course.
And I won.
Yes.
Because I just put commitment behind it, where he kind of was like, oh, clearly I've chosen the answer.
You have to believe your argument. And I thought I believed it, Ken, but apparently not. I go into those now knowing full well that I'm going to lose. Because I'm going to try my best, but I'm also going to try my best to have a great time. And apparently that doesn't win you movie fights.
Look, if they continue to do drunk movie fights, I don't know. They haven't said to me either way. I know it's a new era over there, and drunk movie fights is representative of a different era of movie fights, but I'd be willing to do it again. And I'd be willing to put my title on the line against you and another, a competitor. I think we could find someone raring to go.
Yes.
You know, to toss a few back.
Have a few whiskeys. Throw it out there.
I'm putting that out there.
Yeah, a little day drinking. A little tailgate for the drunk movie fights.
Oh, that's it. And then luckily after mine, they put in bathroom breaks.
Oh, that's smart.
Because the first one,
you had to pee your pants.
I'm being interviewed by Hal post game and I almost peed.
Yeah.
And then I almost famously, as I've told the story before, on the way to drunk movie news.
Yes.
Almost peed in that Uber. So after that, they put in pee breaks at the request of some of the competitors.
Smart. It's smart.
And
it's
anyways, I'll defend it against you.
Yeah. I don't know, Ken.
Yeah.
You know, because I'm at the heart, at the base root of all of this, I'm a competitor.
Yeah.
So when I go in, I want to win.
Oh, I've seen you get angry.
Yeah.
Oh man. Schmodown. Ooh.
Good old hot
collar Makugo.
I like to win.
Yeah.
But I also like to have a good time. So it's always been, you know what my thing always was? And I don't know if you had a friend like this or if you were like this sometimes,
maybe.
But if I was playing somebody that wasn't as good as me in a sport, like let's just say I was playing somebody that wasn't as good as me in ping pong and I was up 9-2, I would kind of be like, oh, I feel bad. And then they come back and win and beat me. And I'd be like, oh, crap, I shouldn't have let them come back from that.
Yeah.
Instead of Tiger Woods, like stepping on their throat, right?
I've had that. Yep.
I'm playing golf with somebody. I'm like, oh, I'm playing really good. I feel bad. I'll kind of tank it a little bit. And then I end up losing to him because I don't find my game again.
Yeah. You start getting careless.
Careless, but
I've done
also
it in Madden.
Playing
people in Madden, I'm up 35-7, and next thing you know, I lose the game 42-38.
Correct. Yeah. I mean, you are the Houston Oilers against the Buffalo Bills in 1991.
Exactly.
Or three. Mm. Was it 93? 92? 91?
I think it was about 91, 92.
Because it was the second Super Bowl, right?
Yeah.
Or was it the third Super Bowl?
Mm.
Or was it the fourth Super Bowl? No, it was the fourth one, because remember, they go to the Super Bowl and then never win again.
Never win again.
They never go to the playoffs
right,
until
but
this
Reich
year.
Was the quarterback because Jim Kelly was hurt.
Jim
that
Kelly
game.
Was hurt, and it was the wild card game.
Right.
Yes.
Woo.
Not at Ralph Wilson.
No.
It was at. It wasn't. It was at. What's it called?
Was it Orchard Park?
Orchard Park. It was. It was the bigger stadium. It wasn't at their normal stadium. It was at the bigger stadium.
Mm.
Weird. Wasn't. Yeah.
Amazing. But you're competitive. I know what you mean.
So you know what I'm saying? Though?
Yeah. You drop down a little bit, and then you lose. You got to stay in your game.
Yeah.
Got to stay tough.
I'm not good at closing it out.
No, I'm not either. I'm not either. Well, hopefully you get another chance on
Thanks,
movie
Ken.
Fights.
Yeah. I want to do the drunk ones. I think we should petition Billy. We petition the internet. We petition everything.
You know what? We got to get Patterson on this show.
Yes.
And then we'll
guilt
really,
him into it.
We'll guilt him into him.
Yeah.
I like that there. You talked about the early 90s, and you and I were talking about the 90s. How did this happen? Your friend Scarpino sent
you. So we've been... Nick Scarpino just sent out a tweet, you know, a general tweet to the ether.
Right.
Hey, Josh Makuga, I miss you. Hope you're having a nice Sunday.
Right, right. You know? Yeah.
And he and I have become good buddies. You know, he's a bearded fellow like you and myself. And
Works up there in San Francisco. Kind of funny.
I went up there to do a couple shows. It was a blast. I'm going to go up and do it again kind of soon. And those guys are here next week for E3. So we've been talking about getting together and hanging out. And he sent me this montage from the movie Navy SEALs.
Wow. I don't
1990.
Yeah.
Starring Charlie Sheen.
Okay.
A Michael Biehn, a.k.a. Yep. Reese from Terminator.
Yep, Johnny Ringo.
Johnny Ringo, yep. Correct. And it's to, the montage is them on a golf course. You know, those Navy SEALs need to blow off some steam sometimes, Ken.
Right, right.
And, you know, 1990 was right around the time that the Navy SEALs started becoming part of our lexicon, part of our pop culture. Yeah. Navy SEALs were everything. 60 Minutes was doing a piece. Newsweek was doing a piece. Right. Time was doing a piece. All because of how they trained and how hard it was to become a Navy SEAL.
Oh, you know what's in this? Joanne Whaley.
Yeah.
Rick Rossovich, yep. Who was also in Roxanne, yeah. Steve Martin, yep. Daryl Hannah, Joanne Whaley.
Yeah.
Was in Willow.
Oh, yeah.
Opposite Val Kilmer.
Okay. So Navy SEALs, again, just like your classic kind of a war-ish, not war movie. It's, you know, right. they do the training and then they have to go on to a thing and a couple guys die, yada, yada, yada. But it's a classic 1990s montage that Scarpino texts me. He's like, does it get any more perfect than right. this montage? And it's to Bon Jovi covering Tin Lizzy's.
Thin Lizzy's
back in Boys Are Back in Town.
Boys Are Back in Town.
Spread the word around.
Back in town.
But and you know, like Bon Jovi kind of has that Thin Lizzy lead singer's voice.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. Yeah. It's like the mall version of it. Yeah.
Correct. Well said.
Yeah.
And it got me thinking about the year 1990 because it's not only that. You know, yeah, Charlie Sheen. This montage is perfect, though. Well, it does anger me a little bit as a golf purist that they're kind of wrecking the golf course
a little bit.
There's
too many carts on
there's
the field.
Too many carts on there, but they're Navy SEALs.
Right.
They're risking their life for our country. They're about to, you know, they're going to go out and kill a bunch of terrorists, and that's what we need. But they get on that golf course, and they're just having a good old-fashioned time. Charlie Sheen in some really baggy khakis with too many pleats.
On the golf course,
some really high shorts, tank tops, breaking golf clubs.
Oh, a lot of like neon colored shorts.
Yep,
neon. Too tight.
Headbands, just chugging beers. At the end of it, Michael Biehn says to Charlie Sheen, hey, you want a brain grenade? I've never heard the term brain grenade for a beer in my life, but I'm never going to stop using it.
That's great.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, you showed me a little bit of this in preparation for this episode, and it has got the moment it starts.
Yes.
I could have said, stop the video. Let me explain to you what happens in this montage.
And you would have got it.
And everything happens because every montage around this time has it. And it's got that feel. 1990 has a specific feel to it.
It really does, because the world was confused.
It was.
The 80s were something.
Big hair, big money, big phones, big suits, big everything. Yeah.
And then 1990 comes around, they're like, do we keep doing the 80s thing?
We didn't
or
know.
Are we supposed to do something different?
Yeah.
And then they're like, I don't know, what do we do? So 1990 was this progressively weird transition year. You look at the movies, because I just saw Jimmy Fallon and... Paul Rudd do a shot-for-shot remake of the music video Go West, of Wishful Thinking.
One of the all-time great songs, by the way.
Dude.
From the Pretty Woman soundtrack, which came out in 1990.
Correct.
A perfect example of this year.
Correct.
Yeah.
I mean, 1990, we were convinced that true love was between a man who was basically a consultant and a prostitute.
Yeah.
And nobody has convinced me anything different in 28 years, Ken.
Fairy tale of our time.
I know.
Yeah.
Richard Gere,
Julia Roberts, Jason Alexander. I mean, look, it's one of my favorite movies.
Yeah.
We know this. But yes, there's something about this era. In wrestling, there's this thing called a transitional champion.
Okay.
So you got your guy here, and then you want to get the belt to guy B. But you know what? Guy B is not quite ready, so they move him to C, and then there comes B. Guy B, we're going to give you this championship strap. All right. For like 3 weeks,
and then
you're going to drop it to this guy. It's called a transitional champion.
Right.
1990 was this weird transitional year.
It really was.
I mean, what was to come and what was then?
And 1990, again, had some unbelievable movies. Okay, I'm going to give you, this is Ranker's
1990.
Top 100. I'll give you the top five
movies.
Okay.
Now, is this by like a ranking or just...
It's just like, I don't know how...
Box office?
I don't know how Ranker works, but they seem to pop up every time you say something about something.
Them.
But first of all,
yeah.
But back real quick to the year 1990.
Mm-hmm.
I honestly think that it was a launching point, and it didn't know it. It didn't
Very
know
much so.
that where it was in the pantheon of years.
Yeah,
And we look back on it now as the importance of the year 1990.
Here's the thing, and I want to hear your movies in a second. Now, I'm a little bit older than you. 1990 was my second year in junior high.
Okay.
And then latter...
Eight.
Eighth grade. And then latter 1990, when the World Series happened with the Reds versus the A's, the Reds sweep the powerful A's, the Nasty Boys are in the bullpen, Lou Piniella managing the Reds, Paul O'Neill out there in right field, Barry Larkin at shortstop, Chris Sabo at third base, Spud Sabo.
Do you know who almost brought the Reds to their knees that year in the playoffs?
The Pirates.
Correct. The Pittsburgh Pirates. Yep.
So that was a great year, but that's the year I started high school. So 1990, I felt it. I could feel, but you're right. We didn't know.
Cut the 1990 air with a knife.
The
Ken.
Party of the 80s was still going. No one had turned the lights off.
I mean, Green Bulb was just a thought in a young man's
green
head.
Green Bulb was just a one-shot comic released to no fanfare.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. So your number one movie of 1990, Goodfellas.
Okay.
Again,
Makes sense.
Martin Scorsese, probably my favorite movie of his. When I say probably, I mean definitely.
Ray Liotta.
Ray Liotta. Henry Hill. Then you flash forward to the end of 1990, Home Alone. 1990.
Wow, it was 1990?
Yeah.
Ooh,
young kid with terrible parents, awful police officers.
Yeah.
Terrible plot holes, but it still worked.
Joe Pesci, Daniel Stern, Catherine O'Hara.
Joe Pesci in the top two movies in 1990.
Oh my gosh, he was the biggest star in the world.
I'll tell you what, Ken, he was the king of wishful thinking.
He was.
You know?
Do you imagine Joe Pesci? The first time I saw Joe Pesci was in the Michael Jackson short Moonwalker video.
Oh, yeah.
He was like the villain. He had a little ponytail.
His face likeness was even used in the Sega video game.
Yeah. Oh, the Sega video game was great.
Awesome. One of the greatest, most underrated video games of all time.
Josh McCougar, you're a smooth criminal.
Laura Limecooler had it in her basement. She had a birthday party. Moonwalker played it the whole time.
Donnie Pezlowski. He had three copies of Moonwalker.
He had Sega Master. Remember Sega Master?
Oh, I do.
Yeah.
Of course he would.
Rocky IV, the game.
Of course he would. Of course Donnie would. All
right. Third film of 1990, Dances with Wolves.
Oh, Costner. Pete Costner. 90 is Pete
Oscar,
Costner.
Best actor, best director, best movie.
1990, Dances with Wolves, right?
It beat Goodfellas, which is crazy.
You know what else came out that year was Costner? Not as much fanfare. See if you can guess the name. Co-starring Madeline Stowe. My Madeline Stowe.
Oh, no.
I'm trying to give you another good clue here.
Give me a hint.
Directed by Tony Scott.
Ooh.
So you got Costner, Tony Scott, and Anthony Quinn, the late, great Anthony Quinn.
It's not Legends of the Fall.
No, it is Revenge.
Oh, man, Revenge may have missed me.
Yeah.
That may have missed.
John Leguizamo, one of his earliest roles.
Ah, there you go.
All right. Leggies. So Costner, we got Pete Costner.
Then you get to Edward Scissorhands.
Yep.
Which was, again, 1990. Oh, it's a weird movie.
Key year in goth history.
If you were to, that started the goth movement.
Yeah.
Because then
Cure was going strong, but then you have it in movie form.
Right. And then Edward Scissorhands like, oh, you know what we should do? We should make a band about Edward Scissorhands. And then the grunge movement started. 1991 was basically the start of the grunge movement.
92. It was percolating in Seattle and all those areas.
Nice use of percolating.
Percolating in Seattle.
Coffee.
Yeah, because of the fish.
Done.
Oh, the coffee.
Coffee.
Yeah, Soundgarden, Nirvana, they're all up there.
They're getting ready to
Meat Puppets, all those. Yep. They're ready to do it here.
Then you got five, you got Misery, then you got Total Recall, Miller's Crossing, Ghost. 9 is Hunt for Red October. 10 is Godfather 3. Now we're getting into some good ones.
Godfather.
Back to the Future 3 is 11. 12 is Awakenings, which I don't think I've ever seen before.
De Niro, right?
Yeah, yep. De Niro, Robin Williams. But then at 13, to round this all out.
Yeah.
Pretty Woman, Ken.
13. Pretty Woman, Ghost. People don't remember, and this is what I'm talking about. I actually, being in that year, you don't remember what it was like to live when Pretty Woman and Ghost was in theaters
at the same time.
It was that was what you talked about.
Yeah.
Have you seen Ghost?
Do you know that this is a fact?
Yeah. I love facts.
This is a fact. The pottery. Classes.
I thought you were going to say Pottery Barn.
Like
but
the pottery, people taking pottery skyrocketed like 800%. They were opening up like back rooms of stores to make people do pottery thanks to Ghost.
And if you've ever actually done one of those things, making the love around him, not the first thing on my mind.
Woof. Yeah. It's a dirty,
sticky
mess. I don't want to put my hands anywhere. I took a pottery class in high school. And legitimately, this was in 1999.
Yeah.
The teacher, first day, Mrs. Luck.
Okay? Not so lucky.
Mrs. Luck. Her husband, Mr. Luck, ran the ticket booth at the high school football games.
Of course he did.
Mrs. Luck said, guys, listen to me. Pottery is tough. It's not going to be like Ghost every time you do it. So you know it transcended time when a 65-year-old pottery teacher references Ghost because you know all the girls are in there being like, well, if Sweezy comes behind me and makes love to me as a ghost, I know that it's going to feel like
was
it
he
is.
A ghost by that point in the movie?
He was a ghost.
Was he during that? Yeah. I thought it was before he died.
No, that's the famous scene because like they become one while like ghost banging during
pottery. It's
been
a while since I saw some good ghost banging.
Yeah,
but yeah.
You know, we all want
but I was more banging. Of a Pretty Woman guy, but that, I mean, that was everywhere in the Righteous Brothers, you know, from, you know,
Unchained Melody. But then Go West was the clear winner of that song war.
The Pretty Woman soundtrack is unbelievable. It is a powerhouse of what a soundtrack could and should be. It sets the bar.
Here's just real quick. Other lists
of movies.
Just Tremors, Kindergarten Cop, Arachnophobia. Dick Tracy, Days of Thunder. Young Guns 2.
Oh,
if we're talking about what changed our lives
in
1990, how many things, not only was 1990 changing the world in fashion, in attitude, in what was coming up next. We were saying goodbye to the 80s. Hello to 1990.
Yes.
Okay. Girls were shaving their bush in Playboy now. That was like a thing. You got rid of that 80s. Uh-huh. You know what I'm saying?
I know what you mean.
You were the king of wishful thinking, Ken. Yes. A young John McCuga has an 8-year-old son and a 10-year-old son, and he tells him it's okay to watch Pretty Woman. Prostitutes can fall in love with men. This is a Catholic man that thought the Pretty Woman had an okay plot.
Right.
Not only did till later in life did we realize that falling in love with a prostitute might not be the best
idea. I had a friend in high school who was like a senior when I was a freshman, because this would be the year, 1990 into 91. And he and Pretty Woman, I forget when the release date was, but I think it would have been through the summer, right?
Yeah.
It was everything. And so he was upset. It was a senior in high school. It was like 17, 18. And his sister, who was a freshman in our class.
She was a prostitute.
No. Oh. He was like, what is this going to tell my sister? That she should forego everything and become a hooker so she can meet some man. It's a bad message. And, you know, he's not wrong.
He makes a point.
He's not wrong.
He has a good
Jason
point.
Jason was right.
Is he the future Green Bulb? Because you know the Green Bulb is all about staying on
the
righteous side of the fence.
On the righteous side of the fence.
Like the Righteous Brothers.
Yeah, so you talked about Arachnophobia.
Yeah.
Saw it in the theater. I saw.
Still scares me to death.
I saw this. Get this.
Go.
I saw a double feature. That's two movies for the price of one, kids.
Zing, zang, zong.
At the theater, the Fair Oaks Theater, down from my... I'm getting so emotional. Down from my... We used to walk to
in
the
Arroyo Grande.
Arroyo Grande, California, on Grand Avenue. Fair Oaks Theater. Used to walk there from my house on Walnut Street. And there, I saw, with my dad, double feature. Are you ready, Josh?
Go for it, Ken.
Die Hard 2 and Young Guns 2.
What?
Yippee-ki-yay.
That is 4.5 hours of perfect cinema. Now, you may say, Josh, Die Hard 2 is the same plot of Die Hard 1 in an airport with like a worse villain.
Damn.
And you
straight.
Might be right.
I think it's underrated, but I know what you're saying.
But John McClane is still on fire. And at least he pokes fun at the fact that, Jesus, happened to me again.
Yeah.
Because they turned out Die Hard 2 right away. As soon as they saw success of Die Hard,
boom.
They were in the studio the next day.
Die Hard was 88 or everything. It's kind of like Young Guns. Young Guns
Correct.
Is the same time frame.
Correct.
And that was an exact, that was, this is why going back to the thesis here of 1990, you have Die Hard, you have Young Guns, very 1980. Young Guns 100%. Has heavy metal type of thing. And then they want to do it better. So they get John Bon Jovi, but he, and I have nothing against Bon Jovi. I love Blaze of Glory. Great song, great soundtrack.
John Bon Jovi comeback, also in Navy SEALs.
Navy SEALs.
Sorry for panning
the So 1990. So then Young Guns 2, which is the better film, they take it away from the 80s a little bit, but it's still got the feel of it.
Yep.
Same with Die Hard 2.
Yeah. So, because then by like 95, 96, we're all confused as a people as to what the action movie is anymore.
Yes. You know? Yes, it is more about The Rock, not Dwayne Johnson, the movie The Rock. It's that kind of stuff. And that's not bad, but yes, but by 93, 94, the decade has its feel.
Yes.
And then by late 90s, things change a little bit, and Britney and Christina Aguilera come here and
Correct.
Change a lot of things. New
Josh
kid.
McCuga went to Germany, and he got real confused by life. You know?
I was not confused by life, but I moved to L.A., you know? That was confusing. But 1990 still feels like the
feels
80s. But
like
it's got
it.
And Go West, King of Wishful Thinking.
Yes.
You know what another song that, to me, really encapsulates
Go.
The feeling of 1990, early 90s, where it's like, are we big band, hair band, or are we new direction? Is this band... Jesus Jones. You familiar with Jesus Jones? And their song, a 1990-91 tune, right here, right now.
Watching the world wake up from history. And he has like a shaved side of his head with long hair on the one side.
You're so right.
But he kind of looks like Rico Suave.
Rico Suave.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Is he like a headbanger or is he a matinee idol?
And then he is talking about the world waking up from history. And this time, you know, the wall had fallen.
Yeah. Berlin.
Berlin, all that stuff. You know where I got, you know, what I learned
November 9th, 1989, Berlin wall fell.
You know where I learned?
Scott Manstia.
You know where I learned that from?
What's that?
Dennis Miller on Weekend Update. That's where I got my news from. The wall is falling here, big friends.
I had a poster of the Berlin Wall the day it fell. I had a poster on my wall that I won in a German class.
Right.
And my mom thought, oh, all right. Our son is like kind of waking up to culture. He's like, well, but really it's just because I won this poster and I thought it was pretty sweet.
Right.
I won it. But still.
I mean, some of these lyrics, I saw the decade when it seemed the world could change at the blink of an eye. And if anything, then there's your sign of the times. This is a song that is about the changing culture. The 80s was all a Cold War and we were fighting Russia in pop culture, Rocky and fighting Ivan Drago. Right. And then by the end, the walls fallen, Gorbachev's in here changing what's going on. Things are different. And then you felt like, oh, culture is changing. Things need to change. But you still wanted a party.
1990 was the launch.
That was it. Right here, right now.
You took away you got rid of at least six of the pleats by 1991, and you just had two pleats. Right? You wore a little bit of it. Maybe the shoulder pads weren't as big, Ken.
Shoulder pads weren't as big.
They were getting a little tighter, right?
Every girl in my junior high that was like, you know, the popular girls or whatnot, even the other girls. But the look, it was acid-washed, high-waisted jeans with a big black belt buckle.
Yep.
Little bit of midriff and like a white short, like crop top with long sleeves, like a sweater.
You nailed it.
And then some bangs with some poofy bangs.
Yep.
That was like every girl in my school.
It looked like spider webs.
A lot of spider webs, a lot of Aquanet.
Yep.
If you want one of my favorite songs from the early 90s, Tom Cochran, Life is a Highway, go to that video. It's got the scorpion on the rock. You got Tom Cochran in the ripped jeans with the leather jacket. Canadian rocker at his best. But the girl in that video is every girl at Judkins Junior High, year 89 to 91.
Okay. The song that I was thinking was the end of Three Men and a Little Lady. What was that song I was playing for us earlier?
It
was
like
something about Fall for Your Heart or Heart, son of a... Aha.
Songs in 1990. I mean, you've got some
I don't need...
I'm going to bring up a list here as we're talking and we're researching on the fly. I got a list of Billboard's year-end Hot 100 singles of 1990. Go. We'll play a game with you. I want you to guess. What do you think is the number one song, according to Billboard, in the year 1990, Little Kenny Knapsack's in junior high. He is just making people laugh at lunch with his impressions of Phil Hartman characters, doing the anal retentive chef at lunch, doing Mike Myers' character.
Is it Bon Jovi, Cowboy? On a steel horse.
But Bon Jovi
Dead or Alive.
But he cracks the top 10. Song I already mentioned, Blaze of Glory.
Blaze of Glory. Okay, got
at number 10.
Gotcha.
All right, number 9, Cradle of Love, Billy.
Oh.
Rock the Cradle of Love.
Dude, I'm telling you, to this day, when I saw that video for the first time, I like almost felt, I was like, I think I have a boner. Like that was, I was so young.
And you weren't sure if it was for Billy Idol or not. You didn't care.
No, that girl, I remember her being on that bed and that guy's watching her dance and he's sweating. Yep. That was one sexy video, man.
Number 9, talking about sexy, Hold On by En Vogue.
Ooh.
En Vogue. Did it for Little Junior High Kenny, I'll tell you that much.
You know who else? So you had En Vogue, who was awesome. Free Your Mind, the
Free
Wrestle
Your Mind.
And then for some reason, young Josh McCuga had a huge crush on SWV.
Yes.
Look at
Number 7, Another Day in Paradise, Phil Collins.
Oh.
You don't understand if you weren't there, like Josh and I. Phil Collins was like number 2 highest presence in in that time frame behind like Ronald Reagan and God.
Yeah.
It was Phil Collins.
Reagan, Collins, God.
Yeah.
In that order.
In that order.
Collins, his breadth of ability.
Yeah.
No Phil Collins song sounds the same.
No.
You had Susu Studio, In the Air Tonight.
Yeah.
Even like in the mid 90s, like 91, 92 was a can dance.
Yeah. Oh, I can't dance. I haven't thought about that song since 1992. And I know he went away for a while, and he was kind of bitter.
Yes.
He's kind of been bitter, but he just recently came back. I saw a live performance.
And
I think it was Fallon, right?
Well, he came back and won an Oscar for Tarzan.
Yeah, but and I saw like Questlove was doing the drum fill.
Yes.
Phil
Collins is the man. Right. Because his daughter's famous now.
Oh, that's right.
Lily Collins.
Yeah. All right, so number six, Mariah Carey, Vision of Love. We have a veteran there coming in number five, Vogue, Madonna.
Yeah.
And when Madonna released a new song with a new look, that changed everything around you.
Do you remember on MTV when they would have like in a world premiere in three?
Yes. Two. One.
When they did Madonna Vogue, I remember being on a soccer tournament. My brother was 10. I was 8. We're in a soccer tournament in Freehold, New Jersey. Mm-hmm. And they just released Vogue.
Not as impressive as Geneva on the Lake.
No, nowhere near. And we were all in like a hotel room, and all the guys were like, I don't know what we just saw, but I think we like it. Because Madonna was so confusing for a young boy. It was like, she's kind of crazy, a little alt, but like, I'm really turned on.
I tell you what, you know, her Like a Prayer, she got the dark hair, she's running around, and then it's got some lot of religious overtones.
We weren't allowed to watch that one.
I was not allowed to watch it. So I would come home.
Your parents and John McCoover?
Yeah. Crosses were burning. She's got the pierced wrist there and everything. A lot of Jesus imagery. Yep. And so I was not allowed to watch it.
Of course.
A lot
not.
Of guys had little Kenny Absock would come home and he'd turn on MTV or VH1. My mom would be outside doing some chores or taking one of the dogs to the potty and the song would come on. And I'd be like, here we go.
Yeah.
Here we go.
We're going to get to listen to one.
It's either this or En Vogue. What am I going to get first that I like?
To this day, I think Like a Prayer might be my favorite
Madonna song
of that kind of era because it was before, it was after Material Girl, Borderline, that you know, those songs.
Yeah, no, those good. I don't want to say peak Madonna because she's had a lot of different peaks, but like, you don't, like, it would be. We talk about the old guys talking about the music videos. You're so right. It would be the next day at school.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the new Madonna video?
Did you see it?
Did you see Vogue?
Did you see it?
And you could see it. You felt it. You heard it in the air.
Basically, remember they used to have late night MTV and it was just a bunch of Madonna videos that they wouldn't play during the day? And I'm like, ah, she's so sexy.
All right. So number four is Poison by Belle Biv DeVoe. Yeah.
Still a great dance floor. I crushed Poison on the dance floor in that booze cruise in Chicago.
You did,
where you
improved race relations.
Correct.
All right, the top three. This is the top three songs of 1990, according to Billboard's year-end Hot 100 singles. Mm-hmm. Coming in number three.
Got it.
Talk about an era where this was everywhere. This was huge. It was controversial. Prince wrote the song, Nothing Compares to You, Sinead O'Connor.
Well, because she burned that picture of the Pope.
Rips up the picture of the Pope on SNL. Great song. This woman's vocal, still one of the best of all time. This song, you knew it. It was everywhere.
The video was just a slow zoom.
Yeah.
Just
crying,
slow zoom,
crying. Just the cry. All right. Then, so here we go. This is part
two. Top two.
The top two are two of Kenny Knapsack's favorite songs of all
Kenny
time.
Kenny Nobothers.
All right. I don't do karaoke.
Okay.
Maybe one day
I've
will.
I've seen you do it before.
Nope, you haven't.
Man, I'm lying. I haven't seen it.
I've only done it once. You weren't there. I can tell you.
I will say this, though.
Yeah.
Apparently, next season on Jessica Flash and the Green Bulb.
Oh, yeah?
There is a karaoke episode, and they are looking for a handsome bearded man to sing something from 1990.
Maybe.
All right. Number two.
So my number two, from the Pretty Woman soundtrack. It must have been love, but it's over now. Roxette, one of the great bands of the era. She's got the look.
She's got the look.
She's got the look.
She's got the look.
She's got the look. Great band. Must have been love. The closing ballad as Vivian rides away.
In that 1990 limo.
In the limo. Oh, those 90 limos, which kept going to about 98.
You still
would see them on the road.
My pap's funeral, we had them.
And the chauffeur, the black guy.
Awesome.
Is like, you know, I took Richard Gere. I took Philip home. Is that his name? I can't remember. I took him home the other day. You know, just letting you know. And next thing you know, he took him, because she says, "Hey, I took Vivian home the other day." And then you have the great scene, and that song is playing when she drives away.
Another classic scene with one of those limos.
Yeah.
Reginald Val Johnson in Crocodile Dundee. As the limo driver.
We should.
Oh no, wait, that wasn't Reginald Val Johnson.
Oh, we got to get our facts straight.
Shoot, it was the guy who played the player in the guy who did, ran the grounds crew in Rudy. What is that actor's name?
I don't know.
Christ, I'm a terrible.
No one comes to afternoons for the facts.
Anyway,
all right. The number one Billboard Hot 100 single of 1990. One of my favorite songs. I get a lot of crap for liking this band. I own. There are two albums from this era. All right? Get any guess from you. Any guess. Think of 1990. Think of the feel. Think of the look. Think of the fashion. Think of the messages. We're coming out of the 80s, but things are tough.
Is it Nelson? No.
No.
Shoot.
I'll give you another guess.
Two albums.
Think of rock and roll legacy. Think of what a great idea. This attaches to the past of rock and roll, but it's all about the future, and it's positive, and we have black big buckle belts on, and we are the height of fashion, height of just the girls next door, but we're rock and roll sexy. Come on.
Son of a B.
The one and only, Wendy China Carney.
No way.
Wilson Phillips, Hold On.
Hold On is the number one song of 1990?
Uh-huh.
According to the Billboard's. I know that there's change when you hold on for what? Bridesmaids.
Right from the chain. Oh, I love Bridesmaids because of all the things it did. Good. Annie Mumolo, Kristen Rigg wrote the script. I love Melissa McCarthy in it. I love Maya Rudolph. Great stuff. John Hamm, all the stuff. We got some winning going on in that movie, but it's Wilson Phillips getting that street cred at the end.
Yes,
that I love.
And as soon as that movie was over, I jumped on YouTube and just went and watched that video probably 10 times. Yep. And I remember the number one comment, it said, like if you came here because of Bridesmaids. And there was like 15,000 likes.
And I've got to imagine there is a generation that you might be familiar with. And I'm not saying like the young kids. You maybe knew it, but maybe you were born in 1995. You're not going to feel it like us. And that movie, boom. Explodes it back up. God bless it.
Yeah. Well, it's kind of like the series finale of Sopranos, what that did for Journey's. Don't Stop Believing.
Yeah.
It just stopped, and all of a sudden, Journey went to number one on iTunes because of that finale.
We need something to do that for Christopher Cross's Sailing.
We do.
We need to figure that out.
Or Ride Like the Wind, one of those two songs. We needed like Usain Bolt to come out to Ride Like the Wind. Or like Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s final season on NASCAR is like, I only listen to Ride Like the Wind. Somebody super famous need to be like, the only thing I listen to. Or like LeBron James comes out or Steph Curry comes out to Ride Like the Wind.
Yeah, I think that's what pop culture. I love when that kind of happens.
Yes.
When someone who, you know, Phil Collins is a great example. He's one of the biggest stars in the effing world.
Yep.
And then is just looked over, disappears, goes away, and you hear reports that he's bitter, that he's not happy about it. And he's like, Collins.
He thought he was a punchline.
Yeah.
But he's not.
A punchline. And then
he's a genius.
He's out there doing, In the Air Tonight on Fallon. Love that kind of stuff. But 1990, weird time, man. Weird time.
What do you think an afternoon in 1990 would have been like right here?
If it was
in
you
Burbank,
and me talking?
California. Yeah.
Because I would record shows in my bedroom on my little boombox in 1990.
I was recording mixtapes off the radio, Ken. B94.
Yeah.
102.5 WDVE.
Mine was
93.7 B94. We had
Pure Gold 107, Pure Gold, something like that.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, there was some great stuff. We had 96.9. It went away. I mean, it was another classic rock station. Yeah. We had 94.5, 3WS was an all oldies station. That was my dad's favorite
station.
Oh, I love
the oldies. Yeah. I used to listen to an oldies station. It was a syndicated morning show hosted by a guy named Jim Zippo.
Okay.
Zippo in the morning. He was a classic, like, man, what's up? Boom, boom, boom. They're getting closer all the time.
Let's go to Ken with traffic. Yeah. There's none. All right, thanks, Ken.
But he was harmless. You know, he was harmless. His, like, we're going to do a prank. We're going to go in a donut shop and order two donuts. That kind of guy. Yeah, I know what you mean. But what would an afternoon's podcast there, if it was you and I talking, I don't know what you would bring to the table, but I would bring a box of 87 Tops and open up and talk about that.
Sure.
Talk about a lot of baseball. Hadn't really taken a big dive in the Beatles yet. Surprisingly, not as much Star Wars as you would think.
Gotcha.
Unless we got to 91 with Timothy Zahn's Heir to the Empire book, but it would have been like baseball cards.
8-year-old Josh McCuga would have been talking a lot about baseball. It's because it was the beginning of summer, so school just let out.
Oh, yeah. Right? Yeah. If this June 1990.
He would have been able to, young Josh McCuga would have been able to name every Pittsburgh Pirate. Talk about how he didn't like Barry Bonds, but he loved Bobby Bonilla.
Andy Van Slyke.
Yeah, and then Sid Drabeck. Doug Drabeck. Big Drabeck fan.
Sid Bream at first. Second base, Jose Lean.
Jose Lean with Chico Lean.
Shortstop at the time. Jay Bell was a year or so away. No,
Jay Bell was there.
Jay Bell
was in 90, I believe.
Third base.
Well, it would have been a split between Spanky LaValliere because he played third and caught.
Yeah.
And then you had the Killer Bees in the outfield. You had Bonds, Bonilla, and Van Slyke.
And then you're right. You had Stan Belinda in the bullpen.
Bob Walk, Doug Drabeck, John Smiley.
Yeah, Smiley. Yeah. Great left-hander. Went on pitch for the Twins. LaValliere and Junior Ortiz behind the plate.
Behind the plate. Great Pirate team.
Yankees didn't have... I would have been disappointed. We would have spent 20 minutes talking about the Yankees in 1990. Mattingly was hurt. Back goes out. 1989, he comes off the great years in 84 through 88. 89, good year, but 90, hurts his back. Kevin Moss goes to first base. Oh. Steve Sachs at second base. Shortstop, Bobby Meacham was gone by this point. Alvaro Espinoza, Mike Blowers, Jim Leyritz come up.
Oh, Leyritz.
The catching was a...
Leyritz swung the bat like Jim Thome.
Yes. Jim Leyritz, last major league player to homer in the 20th century.
No.
World Series in 1990.
Didn't know that.
Yeah, and then catcher, you had Joel Skinner, Rick Cerrone, Bob Guerin, all these people came in. Center, Claudel Washington was in the outfield at one point there, but it was a bad team in 1990. Yeah. Ooh, it was a bad year.
When George was working for the Yankees, and he tells that girl, I was like, ugh, they stink.
Yeah, they stink. We trade Jay Buhner for Ken Phelps at this point. Anyways, we would have talked about that.
A lot about that. We talked a lot about, you know, like what's going on in the summer. So maybe some swim meets.
June 1990, I graduate junior high.
Okay. You're about to go freshman year.
Seventh grade, not a great school year for me. Eighth grade, great school year for me. I found my niche in the drama department. People actually thought I was funny.
Oh,
popular girls would talk to me.
Whoa.
I didn't know what to do with that, but Summer Stanley was a big fan of me. She was this beautiful blonde from Tulare, moved down for 1 year. She used to
Stanley. Yeah, that sounds like a character in Wonder Years.
Yeah, Wonder Years.
Yeah.
And then Summer moved in for the fall. But I graduated and I was so terrified of high school.
Okay.
Did not know what to do with my life. I was like, I wanted to run away. And my family almost moved to Oregon.
Really?
Corvallis, Oregon.
Oregon State.
Big football, baseball.
Death Valley.
Nike up there, all that kind of stuff. So Corvallis, Oregon, and we in June of 1990 took like a 2-week trip in our Mazda MPV van.
Oh, we had one of those.
Multi-purpose van.
I broke the window thing because I kept clicking it. Stop clicking it. I broke it.
I had the back seat. Sister had the middle seat. Mm-hmm. And we drove up there and we had some distant relatives, so my mom's cousin's sister, brother, very nice people. And I'll tell you what, I thought my life was going to be in Oregon. And then we came back down.
Summer Stanley.
And she disappeared. I don't know what happened to her. She was a year behind me. I thought I'd join her in high school.
If Summer Stanley is listening to this right now, married name now, Summer
Klauskowski. And she's probably got about 4 children and runs a feed store out there in Tulare. Guarantee it. Her family had some kind of agriculture background. I'm not saying there'd be nothing about that I'm interested in.
She sells green bulbed plants. There you go.
Yeah.
I'd
be like, Josh, I think the afternoons have to end because I'm probably moving to Corvallis.
Oh, no.
They have a Dairy Queen up there. I kind of like it.
Ken, I learned how
to do sales tax.
I learned how to do a gainer off the diving board at Valley Brook Country Club. I was the king of the pool there all summer long.
So you had a bunch of swim meets coming up?
Yeah. Well, when I was 8... So 1990, I was 8 the summer of 1990.
Wow.
I was like, I just learned that I was fast at swimming. Mm-hmm. You know, like I jumped in the pool and they're like, you have to race people. I was like, okay. Jumped in. Shoo, shoo. My mom was like, uh-oh, he's quick. I was like really fast as a young kid.
Yeah.
And so like all summer was just spent in a pool. My parents would just drop me off at a pool at 11 in the morning and come get me at 6. I'm like, just hang out at the pool all day. They didn't want anything to do with me because I just lived in the pool. I had, because it was a club, so you could just write and sign my parents' name. You got lunch. My brother would come and check on me, whatever.
Yeah.
I was just hanging out with girls, just kicking it. Like 14 and 15-year-old girls. I was like the 8-year-old kid. I was like, hey, what's up? Can I hang out with you guys? They're like, cool, whatever.
I'm not a strong swimmer.
No.
Yeah. Almost drowned in a pool once.
What?
Yeah.
Ken.
Late swimmer. Learned late in life. Good at dog paddling. Ken. Yeah. No swims, Ken. Big swim, Macuga.
Man, 1990. What a year.
We didn't really plan to take this walk.
No, we didn't.
But we did.
Because the wisdom of Young Guns 2 led us to another Charlie Sheen movie, Navy SEALs, which led us to the wisdom of 1990, which I hope all of you listening right now, take a little time, look at 1990, maybe take a little time and listen some of the music in 1990. Yeah. Watch some of those 1990 great masterpieces in cinema and realize what the world was doing in 1990.
And if you're a guy, tuck your t-shirts into your jeans, pull that belt up tight.
Make sure it's a braided belt.
Yeah. And if you're a girl, poof up those bangs, have some high-waisted jeans that go up to your armpits.
A lot of color.
Yeah, a lot of bright primary colors. Mm-hmm. Listen to Tom Cochran's Life is a Highway. Still one of the great rock singles of all time, but that video 100% will give you a feel for what the 90s were.
And you know what? Go out and just be a king of wishful thinking.
King of wishful thinking. You know what? Don't judge me this week, Josh.
Talk to me.
I think you brought something up that I think we both... maybe you should confess and maybe ask the fans to not judge us.
Gotcha.
And that is apathy and confusion towards birthday parties as adults. Uh-huh. Don't judge me. I'm kind of not a fan of them.
No, Ken, I'm not judging you at all because I got to tell you, listen, do I love my friends? Yes.
Right.
I love celebrating their birthdays, something like that. But I'm tired of just, hey, I'm going to be at this bar tonight. Come drink with me.
Right.
Because I see all these people all the time anyway. Like, give us an activity. I know, I feel like we're regressing. Not regressing, but we're making this transition. It's like a bell curve, right?
Right.
When you were young,
sounds smart.
Bowling or a park or an activity. Your parents planned something, yada, yada, yada. You get to high school, nobody does birthdays anymore. It's like, whatever. You just kind of
we're
going
to go to the lake. Yeah, Geneva on the lake.
This is birthday, whatever. Yeah. Then you get to college and it's just like, let's get as drunk as possibly can.
Yeah, yeah.
Then post-college, it's still let's get really drunk. Yeah. And then you start reaching your 30s and it's like, oh, are we still going to a bar? Oh, we got to go to that bar. Oh, it's a whiskey bar. It's fine, whatever. Oh, do they want to get food? Oh, they wanted to get food. Is there food there? Did we reserve a table? Are we all standing around here? It's kind of crowded. Fine. This bar's a little crowded. That guy's too drunk. Da, da, da. What we should be doing these later is plan some activities.
Plan some activities. Now, here's the thing. We recently been to
a few
parties. Yeah. Now, I had a great time.
Sure.
And you had a great time.
Sure.
I had my party recently at a bar, and that's what you kind of do. So that's not... this isn't like an individual. We went to recently parties and things were bad.
No, they were fine.
It's the way of it's the way of the age.
Right.
Hey, what are we going to do? I think the reason we say, hey, let's go to a bar. I'm going to be drinking. Come buy me some drinks and we'll stand around. Which is fine. I think deep down we all would like to throw a party.
Yes.
Cake, streamers, hats.
Everything.
And we feel at some point.
Like a bowling alley or a dodgeball.
I want to have, and so on my birthday this year, I had a little party.
Sure.
Now, people came. Great time. Great time. A week after my party, I was driving around Burbank, and I was like, wait a minute. There's a batting cage place here that rents out cages. How come I didn't have a batting cage birthday?
Mm-hmm.
And I've mentioned it to some people.
Yeah.
And I'm like, hey, guys, don't judge me. I kind of want a batting cage birthday. I know I'm in my 40s. And everyone, to a man or woman, is going, oh, that sounds great.
Right.
Because I think deep down, we still want the parties we don't feel we can have.
No. I want to have like a 90s prom, like a 1990 prom. Right. Play some songs from 88,
there is no
87, 89, 90. Nothing past 1990. Can't play anything past 90.
Right.
You play 86, 80, whatever you want. As long as it ends in 1990, that's your prom. Or like a Pretty Woman theme. Give me a theme. Give me a barbecue. Give me a park. Give me a batting cage. Give me give me the place in Karate Kid, the golf and fun or whatever. You know what I'm talking about?
We'll probably go.
Probably out here.
Yeah, out here in the Sepulveda or something.
Right, exactly. I think that we're just a little, we're in a bit of a birthday rut. But we also don't want to put the pressure on people to be like, hey.
I think you or I should be the first to start this movement of let's take the party back. Hashtag let's take the party back.
Hashtag take the party back 2018.
I don't care what age you are, past a certain point, because up to about mid-20s, that's when you're still, let's bring some red plastic cups by. Mm-hmm. We're going to drink. I think everyone would rather have a party. There's why wouldn't you? Why do you feel you can't have a hat and some streamers and a little thing that goes,
yeah,
and a cake that
how'd it go again? Yeah, got it. Now
you think you do that? I think batting cages, get some bad cheese pizza, some tokens for the cages. I think you or I should lead this movement.
Agreed.
Let's take the
BYOB it to a batting cage.
Let's take the party back. Take the B-Day party back.
Take the B-Day party back.
Take the B-Day party back. Because if we just say let's take the party back, it sounds like it might be like we're trying to take back the Republican Party or something.
Yes. No.
Let's take the B-Day party back.
We're taking it back.
Yeah.
Parties.
Yeah.
Party spaces. Batting cages. Go-karts.
Are you 32 and DJs. You had a party in which you had all your friends
Why isn't there no more dancing at parties?
Dancing. Dance floors in a house.
I want that.
If you out there are going to have one of these parties, just we're not talking like some crazy ironic thing.
No.
I've been to some great parties of like fun cosplay parties and stuff. Video games, Saturday morning cartoon parties. Those are great. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about, hey, hi, I'm Jeremy. It's my birthday. And we're going to have some cake, some ice cream. You can bring me presents and I'll open them.
Sure.
And
nothing
maybe
over $5.
Pin the tail on the donkey.
Hey.
Little. And my dad's going to, he's 70, but he's going to cook some hot dogs for us at the grill.
Hot dogs and burgers in a grove in the park.
Let's do it. If you're having that party soon.
Send us pictures.
Send us pictures.
And hashtag it, bring the B-Day party back.
Yeah, let's bring, we're the worst.
I think
let's take back the B-Day party.
Take back the B-Day party.
That's take back the B-Day party.
Take back the B-Day party.
Is that
party.
The one?
Got it.
Take
got it. Hashtag
back
it.
The B-Day party.
And if you're going to post it, don't post it on alone. Post it on the actual social media so we can see it. Don't if you're posting on your alone page, we won't see it.
We don't know how well alone is doing because we can't see anyone's profiles.
We have no idea. Apparently, we have 500 million active users. Yeah. Most of those, which are, they're just hanging out by
they're
themselves.
Just posting poems of heartfelt remembrances of times gone by and trying to skip the rock 12 times.
I don't know if we should tell them this, Ken, but big news on the Alone front is we actually have Heart playing the first ever Alone Con.
Yeah.
To an empty room of people, but Heart is just playing Alone once. And
I love that.
You know, we got a nice round of second round of funding or Series B funding for Alone, and it's going well.
Jefferson Starship's going to play We Built This City.
Yeah, correct.
On rock and roll.
Because they didn't build it on people because everybody's alone.
Everyone's alone, on alone. So birthday parties, taking that back, 1990, what a year.
What a year.
And let's get Josh McCuga and I on a drunk movie fight.
Let's do it.
I think we did a lot of good things.
We accomplished something here today,
We did a lot of things here on the afternoon.
Don't ever say we're not a philanthropist, Ken.
No, I don't even like saying that word because it has too many syllables. It messes up my tongue. But yeah.
Tons.
I think we, the afternoons is not a pointless podcast.
It's not.
We're here to start movements.
Yep.
We're here to change lives.
Reminisce and not judge.
This is a safe place. No one's going to judge you. That's the afternoons for this week. Ooh, we had a fun one. Hope you did too. Send us your birthday pics. Hey, and if anyone wants to design green bulb and Jessica Flash.
Jessica Flash and the green bulb.
I'm all up for it.
Yeah.
We'll put that out there too. We don't have a Facebook page yet. Do people still do that?
We're not doing that. Just follow us on Twitter
and
Instagram.
Josh McCuga, Ken Knapsack. Yep. Subscribe. Rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, Stitcher. I got to double check if Spotify picked us up yet. Tune in a lot of places.
And we have a logo coming out next week.
New logo coming. Yeah. I like it. It's a
work in progress, but it's almost there.
Frank the editor working on it.
Yep. And we're gonna add some like professional pictures to it.
Ooh, yeah. You and I are going to gallivant down upstream or something like that.
We might be
merrily.
Yeah.
Life is but a dream.
Because like what they say, Ken.
Yeah,
and I posted on my alone page. So,
oh, good. I didn't see it.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter when you listen, Ken. It's always the afternoons.
Oh, we'll see you next week. Bye.